everyone. Welcome back to Shut Up and Grind. This is episode number 297, and today we're going to be talking about the power of online events and one man's journey to get there. So if you're brand new to the show, we're all about overcoming obstacles. We're about defying the odds and helping you clear whatever's blocking your path to the success that you want in this lifetime. So we're live streaming on 6 different platforms, right? Well, 2 on Facebook, LinkedIn, YouTube, Twitter, and Instagram. So you can watch us anywhere. And then if you missed the live stream, you can catch it on any podcast platform. Yeah, so I bring guests in from all over the world because everyone has a story. So if you yourself, if you have something that you went through and you want to come on the show and you want to share your story, just send me an email, rob@robertbfoster.com, and we'll get you on the show. Like, I've heard everything and everything in between, and sometimes I still get shocked by some of the stories that people share on here. Like, I think it was 2 episodes ago, like, I literally was speechless for a second because, like, I wasn't expecting, you know, the obstacle that guest overcame to be that. But anyways, let's get to today's guest and bring it on, Stephen Pemberton, joining me from Oklahoma. How we doing, Steve?
I'm good, Robert. How are you?
Good, thanks. Do you prefer Steve or Stephen?
I'm good either way.
Okay. Yeah, me too. I'll do Rob or Robert, but not Bob. No Bob. All right, so tell us a little bit about yourself.
Yeah, so I mean, we could go as in-depth as you want to. I'm good at going wherever on my story. I mean, my story really picks up in 2020, especially when I sit there and I listen to your podcast and you're talking about just overcoming. Is 2020, I had been working in a corporate job for 5.5 years, and I started having anxiety attacks for the first time in my life.
Wow.
In 2020. And this was in May of 2020. Background story on how I even got there was, I mean, I like was married really young, had a kid really young, went bankrupt really young, like failed in a business really young. And none of those things gave me anxiety on the level that I basically couldn't function. Yeah. So when this started happening to me in May of 2020, it was inexplicable. I couldn't understand it. And what ends up happening is in May of 2020, it starts happening. I tell my upper supervisors, my managers, all these people, and they're just like, hey, you're good, dude. We'll get through it. It's like, I'm literally breaking down in tears right here on in front of you and my entire team. It's like, I'm pretty sure I'm not just going to push through it. And so in June of 2020, June 26th specifically, I ended up leaving that job and stepping fully into business with my wife. The year before, my wife had grown an Amazon business from 0 to over $1 million in sales.
Wow.
By herself. She built a team and we had a financial backer, which was amazing. And then I was able to help out a little bit with that. In 2020, I started helping them completely restructure that business because I come from a logistics and supply chain background. So I was able to give them great insights on, okay, this is how you manage your teams appropriately. This is how you make sure that your top line is also helping your bottom line. You're not just pushing sales. We're actually keeping some of that money too. Because doing $1 million in sales sounds amazing. To most people doing $1 million, most people never see that. But we never even saw $1 million actually stay in the bank account. We only kept like $100,000. So you got $1 million in sales, 19,000 transactions, 6 employees for $100,000. You can go do that in a job. So that's always what I try to tell people is like, be aware of your goals. It's like, if you want to make more money, you can do that in a job. You don't have to go start a business. Business is much harder if you don't know what you're doing. But that's just a little bit of background on that part. And then with that business with Amazon, it ends up getting shut down. We're almost $100,000 in debt. We have no idea what we're going to do. And we're able to pivot, luckily, into Facebook, Shopify. And what we did there was we were able to turn that into, in 2020 to the end of 2021, it turned into a $1 million business. And the most important part of all that is we were able to help 170 underprivileged kids have Christmas. And this was actually going and finding them because at that time I lived in Tennessee. So I'm not a native Oklahomian, but in Tennessee, we were able to go find them in the backwoods of Tennessee, in the school system of Tennessee. We either donated or raised close to about $50,000 to be able to get $300 a kid worth of presents to take to these underprivileged kids. So that's probably the biggest impact that we had with that business. And then just over time, just found we went from more B2C to B2B. Now we're very focused B2B. Margins are better. The way we can help people help more people is a lot better. Instead of it just being us being the driving force, we can help somebody else be the driving force and that they go out and help more people. And just over time, the evolution of all that has been incredible. And that's just like the 30-second snapshot.
So how did you deal with, having to close down a $1 million business and then rebuild it again? Because I want to assume there was some stuff going on in between there.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, honestly, when we got shut down by Amazon, we're $100,000 in debt. We only had a couple months left. Like, you either figure it out or you don't. So the things in between there was a lot of crying in corners, a lot of praying, a lot of like, hey, we're going to try everything to try to keep our lives together. Because I just left. Like, I just quit. For the people listening, if you're sitting here and you're going, well, you know, I'm thinking about quitting my job too. Just imagine if you quit and then 2 months later that you are $100,000 in debt and there's no income coming in at all. All of a sudden, you're going to think, hey, I really messed this thing up. And especially coming from my background where I'd already failed in business once, I thought I've definitely made the wrong decision this time. But what ends up happening was not only mindset shifts, but just having skill sets gave us the ability to, when we actually saw an opportunity, we were able to take advantage of it. I think a lot of times what I've seen nowadays, especially with the social media age, is people will see somebody else taking advantage of an opportunity and say, hey, I'm going to do that too. But if you don't have the same skill sets as that person, if you haven't gone through the same experiences, you may not have the exact same results. So that's what we had to learn. Because even shifting into the online event space, I mean, we ended up shutting down another $1 million business to solely focus on the online event space. And that's a hard transition when you're going from B2C. So you're going from like business to consumer to business to business. It's a completely different amount of skill sets. Like, now you have to step into real sales where I'm having to talk to people, right? Like, they got to see my face and hear my voice before they're willing to give me their money. So there's a lot of different skills that it takes. And I think that that was the biggest thing that I had to learn when we shut down that, when that first business got shut down, was understanding what skill sets do we have? What is the mindset we need to have here? And just not giving up. I think so often people will just get backed into a corner. I'm one of these people that in the past I get backed into a corner and I would just shut down. I'm just like, okay, I'm done. There's nothing else I can do. I'm not going to try anything else. I'm just going to wallow in my own self-pity. But that's not going to get you out of the situation you're in.
True. And a lot of people default to that too. Like, I had a conversation with one of my fitness clients earlier today, a couple hours ago, where she says, I was thinking about doing kickboxing on Sunday. She's like, but the last class didn't go so well. I said, it was your first class. Right? You're not going to come out of it kicking like Jean-Claude Van Damme in one class. Yeah. I said, keep doing it and you'll get better at it. Same thing like with, take some of the harder exercises like pull-ups. And people say, oh, I can't do pull-ups. Like, well, do you practice pull-ups? It's like, if you practice pull-ups over time, you're going to be able to do a pull-up. And it's the same in business. But one thing I want to highlight is the fact that you had to shut down that first $1 million business. That's because you weren't meant to be there. Yeah. You know, it's like sometimes we don't realize that just because you're doing something and you're successful at it, that doesn't mean you're supposed to be there. Like, when I was managing restaurants, I was good at it. I got promotions, I got awards and all this stuff. But just over time, like, I started losing the inner passion. Like, you know, I became a father and, you know, it's like I'm missing a lot of stuff because of the demands of the schedule. Yeah. And I started doing fitness on the side, but like, I didn't have the courage to just walk away. And so like, the universe intervened and I ended up getting fired from that restaurant job and it thrust me into the world of fitness. And when I started fitness, I had no desire to open my own gym. It was really just a side hobby, just something I enjoyed doing. And then as that business grew, and then the universe was just like, yo, run in that direction.
Yep.
And now here we are. I get to talk to people around the world just about health, about wellness, overcoming obstacles, resilience. And had I stayed in that restaurant, like, I would have never gotten here.
100%. And I think that that's so good, because especially when you think about, like, everyone will sit here and hear me talk about the millions of dollars we've done online, but you don't realize the amount of things you would need to even get there. Not only skill sets, but even just like mental health, your actual physical health. People want the money. It's like, but you got to put the time and the effort in. Like, you didn't look the way you look today with your tank top on just one day. You didn't wake up after eating 6 McDoubles and say, oh yeah, now I got the body of my dreams. Like, that didn't happen, right? You had to put in work. You had to make conscious choices to say, not this, but this. And so that's always the question that I have to ask myself is like, what am I willing to let go to go up? And those are real conscious choices. Now, there's unconscious choices that we make all the time. And that's where you have to rewire what you've learned. We're all operating out of some kind of system that has been taught to us as kids And most people don't realize they're working out of an 8-year-old's mindset. They just think, well, I'm 35, I'm 55. There's no way I'm working out of an 8-year-old's mindset. It's like, but why is it every time somebody gives you critiques about something you've done that you act like a 8-year-old child? It's because you used to get bashed every time you did something at 8 years old. And so you don't think you're good enough unless people say, hey, that's incredible. You did amazing. If you get any kind of criticism, now you just revert back. So you actually have to go back and rewire your mindset there. It's not just what am I doing from this point forward. It's how can you go back and rewire your brain, especially you didn't understand this with fitness. If I look at food and I say, I can't do that. I can't eat better. I always just end up at McDonald's just magically, you know, my car just self drives to McDonald's at this point. But that's not true. And if it is auto driving you to McDonald's, just change the GPS direction, send you to somewhere else,
yes.
Send you to Cava, send you to somewhere that's healthier. Like, you have to make conscious choices. And the hard thing is you have to delay the gratification. When you sit there and you have those moments where even with the e-commerce businesses, is those were instant gratification. Like, to go from $1 million business to in a few months, another $1 million business, that's instant gratification. With the B2B side, it's been a longer, harder road. So we've had to delay gratification. Yes, maybe now I'm not getting 200 to 300 orders a day, but if I get one sale in this month, it is equivalent profit-wise to what I was doing an entire month. So why would I look at why do we so often look at metrics as what am I getting done today? What is coming in today? What's happening today? If it's not 30 days, and obviously I did something wrong. It's like sometimes the journey, because especially if you're thinking about your own physical health, you are not going to have your dream body. You're not going to look like The Rock. If you're a guy, you're not going to look like The Rock in a month. Like, I'm sorry. I don't care how much protein you have. You could have two grams of protein per ounce or per pound of body fat. It doesn't matter what you do. You ain't going to look like The Rock in 30 days. You actually have to put the time in, and you have to delay the gratification of seeing the body you want, seeing the business that you want until you actually get there. And you won't know that you're getting there until you really arrive. Like, for you, you were sitting there building this gym. You're taking the time to build the gym, taking the time to have people come in, but you didn't know that you still probably honestly haven't even arrived yet. You're still on the journey because you had to define success for yourself. What does it mean to arrive? Is that a big house? Is that a fast car? Is that a great marriage? Because I don't think we'll ever actually become whatever that thing is. We should always be becoming the best version of ourselves. We should always be looking to keep expanding, because if you don't, you'll just end up dying.
Facts. So I want to backtrack to what you mentioned about rewiring your subconscious mind.
Yeah.
Because I coach track and field as well. And I had this talk with my team just yesterday. Well, I coach the boys and the girls. And so I brought them in because, you know, kids nowadays, a lot of kids, can't say all, a lot of kids stress out very easily. Right?
Yes.
Very, very easily. And so I told them a quick story of when I was a freshman and I went to my track coach and I asked him for the record book. Now, mind you, as a freshman, I was 5'4", 88 pounds. Right? So I was not a daunting looking athlete at all. And so he's like, why do you want the record book? I said, because I'm going to break the high jump record. And nowhere, he looks me up and down. He's like, you don't have what it takes to be a high jumper. He's like, why don't you try hurdles? And so I said to kids, I'm like, now, how would you react if somebody said something like that to you? If I said, no, you don't have what it takes to be state champion. I said, you have two choices. I said, you can let that statement hurt you and hold you back, or you can let that statement fuel you. I said, you guys know what I did? I said, I held that record for 22 years.
Wow.
I said, that's what I did. Once I hit my growth spurt, but I started as a freshman, you know, just to put like a human illustration to your point about the journey. I started as a freshman. But no, we didn't have any internet or anything back then. So I'd go to the library, I'd read books, I'd watch videos, and I studied my events. You know, I put the work in. We didn't have a quote unquote jumps coach. So between myself and my dad, we put together a training program and ended up getting to that point. And so in business, it's the same thing. Like you mentioned arriving. Like I'm never going to arrive because every day somebody counts on me. Whether it's the people coming in this gym, whether it's the kids I coach for track and field, whether it's coming on here and sharing stories for my audience, like and everything I do, like I have to show up every day. So it's like I'm never gonna sit back on a hammock and be like, I did it. Because while I'm doing that, somebody needs to hear a message from me that they're not gonna be able to hear it if I'm resting. And that's just how I'm wired.
Yeah, that's good, because people don't realize that. Like, and that's why my wife and I just had this conversation. Every day after we eat lunch and dinner, we go on a 15-minute walk and we just decompress and talk. And on our walk today, we were talking about that exact concept, where if you're just focused on you, you're never actually going to expand. You're never actually going to grow and build anything of real substance, of real meaning, because why would you? Like, you don't care enough about people around you. And I know that that seems rough, where it's like, Steven, you don't understand the situation I'm in. Trust me, I've probably been there. I've been close to eviction a couple times. I've been bankrupt. I mean, I have lost everything almost two times now. Yeah. So I've been in similar spots. I've had my car die. I've had everything happen that you could think of, and then some. But that doesn't keep me from not focusing on the other person. Like, for you, you're focused on people. You're not focused on you, because if you focus on you, you could arrive. Like, okay, when I hit $1 million in my bank account and all my stuff is paid off, then I'm going to just shut everything down. I'm going on vacation. That, just focus on you, but you're not going to build anything where you're truly helping people. You're going to get there to your million, and then you're going to be sitting on the beach and you're going to go, is this all life is? Is me just sitting on this beach? Like, I've heard real stories. I've talked to real people that have said this exact thing, where they sit there and they sell their company and they go sit on the beach for a month, 2 months, and go, there's got to be more to life than this. I've did everything that I set out to do, but yet I feel empty. Why do I feel empty? It's like, because I had a gentleman on my podcast who, he created basically a Fortune 500 in Mexico. And he said, I am not successful. I'm not happy because I'm successful. I'm successful because I'm happy. And his focus is making other people successful. And in his company and how he's built out his corporation, it's like, how can I actually help them as an entire person? How can I help them be happy in every area of their lives? Because if they're happy in every area, they'll work better, they'll work harder, and they will care about not just themselves, they'll care about this community, they'll care about their families. So that's the big part, even what you're saying, is just instead of looking internally, is how do you push out and focus externally? And I love what you were saying. It's like, don't, you have one of two options when somebody gives you that ultimatum. It's like, hey, you're not cut out for this. You can either believe them, or you can say, hey, thank you so much for your opinion, but it's just that, that's your opinion. And then you get to choose whose opinion do you hold in higher esteem, the other person or your own. And a lot of times we pick other people's opinion over our own because we don't actually have the confidence in ourselves.
Yes.
And how do you even build confidence is actually just doing what you say you're going to do when you say you're going to do it. Like, if you say, hey, I'm just going to eat two more chips and be done, eat two more chips and be done. Your mind's not dumb. Your mind's going to say, oh, I'm not going to believe you, because every time you say that, you just crush the entire bag. But if you can have belief in yourself that it's like, when I say I'm going to do something, I'm actually going to do it. Now, all of a sudden, when somebody comes at you and says, hey, you're not built for this. You are actually not physically constructed to be able to do what's needed to have this happen. It's like, thank you. But every time I set my mind to it, it happens. So I appreciate your opinion. You can take that and keep it somewhere else. But I'm going to set out for what I expect to do with myself.
Absolutely. This show was born because of that. I had a bad knee injury in 2009, and doctors told me I would never run or jump again.
Wow.
And end of April, I have race number 179.
Wow.
Since that diagnosis. And so originally the show was called Shut Up and Exercise, but like, I didn't want to only talk about fitness. Yeah. So like, I have seven pillars that I use when I help people get into shape, whether it's losing weight, running faster, jumping higher, you know, whatever it is. And I was like, I can tailor these seven pillars into any industry, any industry, like, no matter what, if you want to write a book, if you want to start a podcast, if you want to blog, if you want to get into management, you want to start a Shopify store, like, it doesn't matter what it is that you do, these principles matter, you know? And so I expanded it to Shut Up and Grind, partly because watching my dad growing up, he was an engineer. This man never gave up on anything. Like, if he was working on a project, come hella high water, he would go and buy a new piece of equipment. He would just, whatever he needed to do, he just got stuff done. So we were raised with that mentality already instilled in us. It's like, nope, never quit, never quit, never quit. And then Les Brown always says, you know, it ain't over till I win.
Yeah,
you know,
I love Les Brown.
And you got to have that mentality. Like, one of my distance runners, he's a junior. And for indoor track, he wanted to be state champion so bad. Like this kid works hard. Like, he really does. He's not the tallest thing. So in distance running, that can matter. Like, you can just get outstrided. And so in the 1500, he lost by like 0.003 of a second. Wow. It was so much. He had the lead the entire race, and the kid just ran him down in the end. And I said, you know, so of course he was emotional because he really won, and he really did. He ran a great race. He just got outkicked, right? So I said to him, so now we're gonna take what happened, and we're not gonna whine about it. We're gonna train. So what happened? You led the entire way, and he ran you down. So now at the end of every workout, do 1 mile of hills, right? Because of like, we can't change his stride, right? We can't change your stride. You're already maximizing your stride. So we have to increase your ability to hold that kick at the end. I was like, we're going to do that, and we're going to bring that title home outdoor. I said, because we're not going to just accept that he's a better runner than you, right? He's like, no. I'm like, say it like you mean it. And he's like, no. You know, and I really think he's going to win the outdoor stage, you know, knock on wood, barring any injuries. Because, like I'm trying to instill that fire in him. Because, like, this is my first season with this school. So, like, if I would have had him as a freshman, he would already have a bulletproof mindset. Yeah. But I think by the end of the season, he's gonna be there. Again, going back to your point from earlier about rewiring the subconscious mind.
Yeah, and I think especially with my generation, like millennials and younger, because I have a son, he's 10, he just turned 10 a couple weeks ago, I think that there are some things that the older generation do and that they've gone through that instills a much harder working mindset. Because with my generation and even younger, honestly, you don't have to work as hard. Like, we have so many more systems and technology and so many different things. You don't have to go to the library. I can learn everything I want. Hey, Siri, can you tell me da 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 da? And it's like, it just gives you everything. Hey, what's 9 times 10? And when you do that, you don't have to think as much, but you do have to be creative. So having the right mindset is by far the most important thing you could do. My dad, he broke his back when he was in his upper 20s. And it was so bad that the doctors told him, hey, you'll never walk again. Like, they told him, you will never walk. And my dad was a mechanic for 30 years. So how did he go from not being able to walk to a mechanic? Did he go get a ton of surgeries? No, he never had surgery. This man, when they did his back scans years later, I think well over a couple decades later, his back had actually fused together so he could walk. And they said, wow, we don't understand how this happened. He said, I just told myself every day, I'm going to walk. I have to walk. I do not have a choice. I have to take care of my family. And he actually willed himself to walk through his own mind power. So when I sit there and I look at my dad and I look at what he did for me, was my dad an entrepreneur? Did he make millions of dollars and that's how I got to become an entrepreneur? No. But my dad did something that I hope I never have to do, which is literally will himself to walk. I'm blessed to be able to walk and run and jump and do the things I do in my life because I have people like my father, people like my mother who come from a hard, hard background. And they gave me things that I could never get, that I cannot pay for. You cannot go out and buy a mindset. You actually have to work on this thing yourself. You can go hire a coach all you want to, but unless you take the steps that the coach is telling you to do, it doesn't matter. You're just throwing money out the window. But the thing that my parents gave me was more than just stories. I got to see it in their lives. My dad, I could probably count on one hand how many times my dad called out in 30 something years, 33 years. I could probably 5 times or less. And the times that he did call out, he was in the hospital. Like, that's the only times my dad ever missed. So willpower is a real thing. But even what you're saying with that kid, if you look at it logically, because even more than emotionally, if you look at it logically, if he led the entire race, there's something that he had. It didn't matter about his stride. He had it. What happened in the last stretch? How did he get run down? Did he get tired? What actually happened? Because if you look at it logically, there's something that he had the entire race that in the last few meters, he just lost it. There was something in his head was like, he may not even realize it may have been an unconscious thing where he's like, okay, I got this. I've led the entire time. No one's even been close. And he might have just slowed down a step. And that's all it took, one step. And that's how he ends up losing. So the thing is like, you got to finish how you start. So if you start strong, you got to finish strong. That's what my coaches used to always tell me. And that's hard because by the time you get to the end, you're gassed. And this is in business too, is you're going to sit there after working an entire week and working hard, you're not going to be doing, especially if you're trying to grow a business, you're not going to be doing 9 to 5 every day and be like, whoo, checking out. It's like, no, you are the boss. You're the janitor. You are everything. You better make sure that this thing is going. Like, your client fulfillment, your customer service, you got to clean them toilets if you got to. But with that being said, is the beautiful thing about that is maybe you do work a little harder, but you also get to choose. So now it's how you started it. You started for a reason. You had a purpose, a passion. Every single moment of the day, if you can sit there and focus on why am I doing this more than just paying my bills, I'm focused on doing this, like you said, to make somebody's life better. How are you going to do that? Focusing on who are these people? How am I making their lives better? What is the actual physical impact I'm having on them? That will drive you when your willpower runs out.
Love it. I absolutely love that. So I want to piggyback on the story you told about your dad willing himself to walk.
Yeah.
One of my gym clients, she came in for a PT session, and you know, I could tell she had been sobbing. And she's like, can we go talk? You know, because I tell them, I'm like, if you guys ever are dealing with stuff, I said, I do the life coaching stuff too. Like, just come in and talk to me. So we go in the office, and she's like, she and her daughter were in a car accident, and her, excuse me, her daughter's ankle was badly hurt. And she's like, the doctor said that she won't walk again. And I said, look at me. I said, I'm living proof that that's not always true. I said, so don't make that her reality. She has to defy that, because if you get that in her head now, she's not going to walk again. And said so. It was only 4 or 5 months later she was walking again.
Wow.
You know, so it's like I told her, it's like, what, you know, again to your point about the power of our mind. It's like if you tell yourself I'm gonna suck at this, you're gonna suck at it. It's like
100%.
If you go into something with the right attitude, and people are like, oh, I'm so tired of hearing about mindset. I'm like, but that's what it is.
Yeah.
You know, again, going back to that coach telling me I'd never make it as a high jumper. Like, if I hung on his word, I probably would have quit track, because all I wanted to do was high jump. But I was like, you can't tell me what I'm cut out for. And I was like, yeah, like who are you? Like, why do you have that much power over my thoughts? Like, and that's what I'm trying to instill in my own kids and into the track team as well. It's like, there's going to be haters. There's going to be people seeing you training, and they're going to be like, you're obsessed, you know, because they're projecting their insecurities onto you.
Yeah.
It's like, because they can't do it, they want to stop you from doing it. And that happens so much out there. And it happens in business as well. Like, I started fitness in 2009, you know, during the recession. And people are like, you can't start a business now. You can't start a business now.
Yeah.
And we ended up opening up a 5,000 square foot facility. Wow. And on the other side of that too, a speaker coach told me, you'll never get taken seriously as a speaker wearing a tank top. And I was like, oh, because I've been on hundreds of platforms and hundreds of publications with this tank top. On the rare occasions, it'll be cold and I'll have sleeves on. And people always say, hey, where's the tank? You know, like, it's part of my brand.
Yeah.
You know, like, I'm into fitness. It's like, for me to sit up here with a shirt and a tie on, that's not my industry. It's just not. So, like, I tell people to show up authentically. I'm not going to show up in a shirt and tie, because I don't ever wear a shirt and tie.
Yep. No, and that's so good. I think I heard this story. So two things. One, I heard the story where this gentleman, his mom just found, well, she didn't find out. So the doctor comes to him, and he says, hey, I need to talk to you, because the doctor's trying to come in the room, and the son was in the room with his mom, who had been really, really ill. So he stops the doctor from coming in the room. And so the doctor tells him, it's like, hey, your mom has like stage 4 terminal cancer. She has less than 30 days. And he said, okay, great. Do not tell her that. And he goes, what do you mean? That's my job as a doctor, is to tell her that. And he said, no. He said, your job is to tell me that. My job is to tell her that, if I choose to. And so what he did is he stayed with his mom for the next 7 days. And every time the doctor would try to come in, he would literally like usher the doctor out. He would not let the doctor tell her what she was given and how many days. And they sat there and they watched funny movies every single day just to change her mood. And those 30 days turned into 15 years. So literally your beliefs change so much about, because for her, she didn't realize, well, according to the doctor, I've got 30 days. Because once you say I've got 30 days, that's all you got. Like, that's it. Yep. You've set the time clock. And I know that there's rare exceptions that is not the case. But the thing is I also heard this quote. This guy asked us a question. I was at a business conference. He said, what is wrong with your belief system? And we're all just sitting there and people shout out different answers. And he said, what's wrong with your belief system is that you believe it. And I was like, wow. And he said, because you don't question why you believe things. You don't question it. You just believe it. And I think that is the hard part for people to actually take in, is why do I believe that this is this thing? like for me, I'm a Christian, so I believe that Jesus died and he rose again here in a couple weeks. But I ask myself the question, why do I believe that? But people are afraid to ask those questions. Why do I believe that I'm going to be successful in business? What is the evidence in my life? Why do I believe this? And if you can restructure your belief system, because a lot of that belief system was given to you. And if you don't actually ask questions about why do I believe this? Oh, it's because my parents told me I should. But is that belief system actually serving you? If it's not serving you, then maybe it's time to get rid of that thing. Because you, at the end of the day, even if people get upset about the mindset stuff, you can learn the skills. Take it from somebody who I rose up the ranks quickly in a Fortune 500 company. I was the youngest manager in a Fortune 500 company. And in this Fortune 500, I had to hire tons of people. I never hired for skill set. I can train skills, but if you had the right mindset, I knew that you would get the skills. So if you're out there and you're either A, trying to get into business, B, trying to grow your business, C, trying to find a job or get a raise, focus on your mindset, not your skill set. Because you may have better skills, but if you don't show up with a good attitude every day, if you don't actually work well with teams, if you don't actually care about the other people, it's not going to happen. Like, people feel that. If you're in business and you get on sales calls and then you're only there because you're trying to make money to pay your bills and not actually there to serve the clients, they will feel that. And when they feel that, and you could speak eloquently and get to the end of that sales pitch and they go, it sounded great, but there's just something in my stomach. Some of my stomach's telling me that this is just not a good deal. And those are the intangibles is what we call them. So what are the intangibles? It's always your mindset. Fix your mindset.
Yes, absolutely. Like, the stories that we tell ourselves, it's reality if that's what you believe.
Yes.
You know, again, going back to when a doctor told me I'd never run or jump again, like I said, just to double down, if I hung on what he said, I would not be where I am.
Yes.
You know, so I was like, no, it's like you sew me back together and then I'll take it from there.
Yeah.
Even in physical therapy, like, you know, the doctor would come and hand me the therapist would come and hand me a 2 pound weight. And I said, what is this? I was lifting 15 pound weights at home. And you're going to give me 2? And they're like, well, you know, we have protocols that we have. I said, your protocols are for the average person. I said, look around this room. I said, you got a lot of older, sedentary people. Like, you can tell that they're sedentary. I said, that's not me. I said, you need to push me to my ability. And people won't have that conversation with their therapist, with their doctor. They just do whatever they're told. Yeah. Again, going back to what you say about question everything. You know, because if I don't understand something, I absolutely question everything. I've never been into collectivism. You know, like, I don't just run with whatever the group says. I'm like, no, hold on, because that doesn't make sense. You know, if that doesn't make sense, you got to question it. And going back to our own personal belief system, me, I'm a trial and error guy.
Yes, like, 100%. Me too.
Right? I go with, like, I don't believe in failure. Either something works or it doesn't. If you try something and it doesn't work, stop doing it or find a different way to do it. And I always use the GPS theory. You know, like, if you're driving, your GPS is on, you get somewhere and the road's closed, right? You don't just turn around and go home, right? It redirects you.
Yeah.
It redirects you and it puts you back on the path. Going back to what we were saying about people hitting a roadblock in business and just quitting. Yeah. You know, it's like, you don't quit. Just what you're currently doing may not be working. So reroute. Reroute and find something that works for you. Like, when I first started this podcast, I was doing like all the other ones do, send me talking points and send me your bio and send me this. And for the first couple of episodes, I'm like, no, these aren't the questions I want to ask. It's like, I want to know what did that person go through to get to where they are? You know, it's like, it's very easy to celebrate the wins, but when you're talking about the audience, you know, not everyone listening has a $1 million business. So if we just start there, they're going to tune out. Yep. Right? But if you talk about being broke, building up to $1 million, there's a whole journey there. Then you had to shut that down and rebuild it again. There's a whole journey that people are going to identify with that struggle. And then they're going to want to hear the rest of your story. And so ever since I switched it that way, that was when I started expanding the audience.
Yeah. And I think that's really good. And again, this is one of those belief systems, right? You can sit there and do it the same way that everyone else does their podcast, or you can do it to what's authentic to you. In this day and age, people are looking for authenticity. And that word is thrown around so often. but do you even know who you are? It's like, because how can you be authentic if you don't know who you are? And so actually taking time to figure out who you are is really important. The you just talking about everything that we talked about on the show, it reminded me of a story, because when I was younger, like, my dad was a power lifter for years, even with his busted back. And so I'm watching him. He's like this big guy and super strong, like crazy strong. And I just remember when I got older, I asked him, I said, "Hey, Dad, what was your one rep max on bench press?" And he said, "Well, the most I ever did was 365. And I said, "Okay." So over the years, I was always just like trying to work up to getting close to it. My parents, they used to always tell me, because I have a concave chest, they said, "You know, you'll probably never bench that much weight because of how your chest is structured." And I said, and I just like, okay. And then as I started getting stronger, I went from, I had to, and what was crazy is like the first couple of years of working out for real, I got up to where I was doing 315, but doing it wrong. So I kept hurting myself. So I actually had to say, okay, this isn't working. So I had to break it all down. I had to go watch people on YouTube and actually diagnose. These people are benching 600-700 pounds. How are they doing that? Well, this is how they're doing. This is how they're setting their feet. This is how they're arching their back. This is how they're actually locking themselves in. This is why they're doing it that way. This is how they unrack it. This is how they bring it down to the chest. This is how they push it back away from their chest. And just when I actually started studying and learning from people who are already doing it at a very high level, that's when everything changed for me. And I remember the day that I broke through that mindset of, I actually broke through the limiting belief that I actually could do more than my dad. Because I remember I worked up one day to 365. And I hit it, and it was easy. And it's like, okay, so just put 5 pounds on each side because I'm going to break this PR. And so I've got 375 on the bar, a 10-pound PR over what my dad had ever done. I remember unracking it out of the bench, and I basically blacked out. And so two people had to help my wife get it back onto the rack, and I almost died doing that. So I was sitting there, and I'll go, wow, maybe it's true. Maybe I can't do it. Maybe this isn't meant for me. Like, those are the thoughts running through my head. And I just said, you know what? No. I said, if 365 moved as easy as it did, I said, the only thing keeping me from doing 375 is what's in between my ears. And I said, I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do it right now. And I looked at my wife, and she said, honey, you almost died. And I said, I don't care. I said, I'm going to die doing this. And I remember unracking it, and it was super hard, but I did it. And then I remember just a couple months later, I did 405, and it was much easier than the 375. What was the difference for me? Was the 405 was easy because I'd already broken through the limiting belief that I couldn't do it. Like the 4-minute mile, you know this as a runner, the 4-minute mile, nobody believed that they could do it until somebody did it.
Roger,
so exactly. So if you don't believe you can do it, you will never do it. But if you sit there and say, I'm going to do it or I'm going to die trying, Eddie Hall said this too. He's like, I'm going to become the world's strongest man or I'm going to die trying. That incentivizes your mind to say, hey, we got to give it everything we got or this guy will literally kill us. So if you can break through that, then let your body know, let your mind know, hey, there's nothing that stops us from going where we want to go. It doesn't matter what your life looks like right now. It doesn't matter what you're going through right now. That does not equivalent to who you are. You get to choose who you are.
See, and I'm glad you ended with that, because like when you were talking, I wrote this down. So when I first started this show, like I did the first couple solo and because I didn't know how to get guests at the time.
Yeah. Yeah.
but now I'm booked out till July.
Wow.
So I would start each show and I would ask the guests, like I would say, who is Steven?
Yeah.
And none of them could answer the question. You know, like there'd be that awkward pause or a bunch of, that's a good one. I'm like, you have a successful business. You have a family, you know, you're a mom or a dad. Like who are you? And then they would just start labeling the hats that they wear. And I'm like, no. Take away the business. Take away the fact that you're a parent. Take away all of that. What's left? Because that's who you truly are. Because if people ask me like, well, who are you? And without Mr. B, I'm a competitor. You know, like that fuels everything that I do, whether it's business, whether it's, you know, my coaching or just even with the kids, I'm constantly challenging the kids, you know, because that's who I am. And that drives me. And the name of the show, Shut Up and Grind, it like that speaks to who I am at the core. When you take away all of the other hats, what's left? Like, and when you can answer that question, now the world can never break you. Because once you're defined, you can stand tall. Like when I had to walk away from a business, like we were talking about struggles, like recent struggles. This was just last year, right? Wow. This was just last year. I walked away from my fitness business. had a bad dealing with a partner. And I was like, you know what? You want it? Keep it. And I walked away. I literally lost everything, lost it all. And, you know, I went into a little pity party for about maybe a month or so. And finally, I was like, you know what? Challenge accepted. Like, let's rebuild it. Like, I rebuilt the first gym from my garage at home. I said, let's just do it. And like you were saying, when you keep your eye on the prize, you can see the opportunities, right? And so I ran into the owner from, well, the name of this gym is Manic Training. So there's one here in East Greenwich, and there's one down in Wakefield. So I live in Charlestown, which is closer to Wakefield. And so I wanted to work out of there, but then we got to talking about this location, and there was no full-time manager here. And he said, before I walked into his gym, he and his wife had the conversation 2 days prior that he needed to get help. And here I am. I need to get back on my feet.
Yeah.
And I figure out there's a location down there. I walk in. Our styles are similar. Our personalities are similar. And the opportunity just presented itself. It's like I spoke it into existence and he spoke it into existence.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, you know, when you hear it like that, look, I just gave myself goosebumps saying it, you know, because the power of the mind, it really is that strong. But when people step back and be like, who am I? It's like people that hit rock bottom, it's because they lost who they actually are.
Yeah. And I think like for me, when I think of that, the hardest times of my life have taught me one thing is that I know how to lose. Like, I'm not going to win every single time. I know how to lose, but I never know how to quit. I don't quit. It doesn't matter how bad it gets. Like, I am resilient. I will persevere. Those two words, perseverance and resiliency, those are the two words I literally model everything after. Mm-hmm. Everything won't be perfect because I'm just like you. Like, I'm going to trial and error this thing out. But that's how you learn. You are not going to learn by just sitting and reading a book. Unless you implement what's in the book, you implement what your coach is giving you, you're not actually going to know if it works for you or not. It may work for you, but is it going to work for me? You don't know until you do it. So for me, it's just being persevering and being resilient is literally getting your back into a corner. You can actually sit there and say, I am seconds away from being like chronically depressed, laying in this bed. Or you can actually, in my opinion, and I know this is a hot take for a lot of people, you can outwork your depression. Because for me, what I found was when I got to the point that used to actually have me laid up in a bed where I couldn't work at all because I was so depressed, I made a choice. I made a different choice. And I said, I can feel how I want to feel, and I'm justified in feeling how I feel, but my feelings are just that. They are just feelings. They can tell me how they can give me indicators about how the car is running, but they cannot drive. And I said, I'm the driver of the car. So I decided that it doesn't matter how it looks, doesn't matter how it feels. I'm going to keep driving the car, even though I feel depressed, even though I feel sad, even though I feel down. I can still take the action that's needed, still put the inputs as needed to get the output that I'm looking for.
See, I almost got in trouble at the high school because I said something similar to that with my indoor team. But you're absolutely right. And people say, oh, well, you're not a therapist. You can't say that. I'm like, but did they say I was wrong?
Yeah.
Like, answer me that. Did they say, they said I can't say it? Cool. But did they say I was wrong? I was like, because I bet you they didn't, because they know. They know it's a hustle because they want these people on meds.
Yeah.
You know, and like, they don't want to tell them how to do it. Like, if you could have seen my first week with the indoor team, they were all a rattled bunch of nerves. And if you could have seen them at the end of the season, they were dialed in. They were prepared. Yeah. No more of the, you know, doing all the pre-race jumping around because they're so scared. Because I told them, I said, you can take that and just get rid of it.
Yeah.
Right, just let it go. Say, keep your eye on the prize. And like, you're nervous because you're worried about, what if I don't run well? What if I don't this? What if this one beat? Don't worry about any of that stuff. Keep your eye on the prize. Like, my 4x4 team broke the school record like 6 times.
Wow. Right?
My 4x2 team, it was one of the invitationals. We were seated fourth on the girls' side. Right, we were seated fourth, and I went, girls, we're seated fourth. Now go win.
Nope.
That was all I said. Go win. I didn't say worry about, don't, you know, make sure you don't drop the baton, because then they're going to get it in their head and they're going to drop the baton.
I can't drop the baton.
Right?
Yeah.
So I can't drop it. Yep. We've been training hard. Get out there and go win. And they won and broke the school record.
And that's the thing is you have, and I love that because you're telling them it's not about how you do it anymore. That's what practice is there for. You've gotten the reps in practice. Now it's like, if you can silence your mind, you win because your body's already going to know how to do it. Like you don't have to go into the gym every day and say, okay, how do I curl this? It's like, I had to pick up this and then I got to do, how do I do this? It's like, no, you've done it so much. You've already got the reps in. You know what you need to do. You don't need to focus on the doing anymore. You just need to be still. Yes. Still your mind. And when you can do that, you're going to beat. It doesn't matter about talent. Like the most talented person, if they're in their head, they're dead. Like it's over. You're going to beat them because you already have outworked them in practice and in the weight room. And now you're going to outwork them by just being at peace and being still and being able to work through it. So I love the way that you're coaching that team.
Awesome. Thank you. All right. We blew through our time, but I just happened to glance up. I was like, whoa. But just take a few minutes and talk about your business. Then we'll bring it down.
Yeah. So, I mean, I've got two different businesses. I've got Holoco, which is the one that you and I met through. Holoco is an online events business where we specialize in helping coaches, consultants, and authors run their online events. We do it completely for them. They just show up and speak. And then I also have my other company, which is Elevatum. And Elevatum is where I come in as a fractional CMO specifically for e-commerce. And I'm helping brands that are doing a million and above scale and be able to capture blind spots that their bigger competitors haven't seen yet to actually grow their business to that 1 to 10 million.
Awesome. And you said you have a podcast as well?
Yes, podcast. I'm the host of Voice Like a Lion podcast. There's an episode that comes out every Tuesday and every Friday.
Nice. If you need someone, I'm here.
Hey, I'm good with it.
I mean, we just proved we had no problems getting through this 45 minutes. Like there are some, guests where I have to like drag the stories out of them.
Oh yeah. You know?
But we didn't, we definitely did not have that issue, but
oh yeah, we crushed it.
I definitely want to have you back. So we'll keep in contact, but okay. Also just yesterday, this man, Shay Brown, this dude is awesome. He's an awesome, awesome human being. And he said he's looking for 5 guests for his show for this coming month. So I'll connect you with him.
Yeah, that'd be awesome. Yeah, right, sure.
Yeah, just connect with me on Facebook because I like doing messenger introductions. Yeah. And I'm pretty easy to find. Just put in Robert before. So you'll see me doing a plank with 2 women on my back.
Hey, I can barely do a plank with just me on the ground, so I don't know how you're doing all that. That's crazy.
All right, just give us some final words, just whatever you want to share.
Oh, man. So my final words are going to be very similar to what we shared in this podcast, but 2 things is, one, be authentically you. And if you don't know what that means, go discover it. Go actually go on a journey. Take off all the hats. Take off all the titles. Figure out who you are. 2 is question your beliefs. And I mean it. I mean all of them. It doesn't matter if that's your faith. It doesn't matter if that's your financial beliefs. It doesn't matter what it is, your family beliefs, question it. Take the time to actually question those beliefs and build real ones that are true to you and not just true to how your family has done it for the last 500 years.
Love it. Great way to end. All right. Thank you very much for joining, taking the time, sharing our stories. It was a solid conversation. I do panels as well. I'll definitely get you back on for one of the panels. I usually bring on up to 6 of my former guests. We pick a topic and we just round table it. So if you're interested in that, I'll let you know when the next one is.
Okay.
All right, man. Have a good day.
You too.
Right, bye.
Bye.
You've been listening to Shut Up and Grind. We hope you've gotten some useful and practical information from this show. Robert has over 20 years experience pouring his knowledge and expertise at many events in the service and fitness industry, as well as secondary schools and universities. He has a true passion for helping others break through the barriers that are holding them back. To book Robert B. Foster to speak or to reach out, go to robertbfoster.com. Till next time, shut up and grind.